that just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus. So
this is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
The passage that I want to preach from tonight is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we're going to consider the Mark and the Luke passage tonight. So turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 35. And then as we turn over to our Luke passage, just hold your finger or keep your place in Mark, because we're going to be referring to that as well. You know, before I begin reading, has there ever been a time in your life when you really felt that no one cared about you? I'm sure you have. If you haven't, I have. I mean, even as a Christian, there's been times when, you know, I wouldn't have, as a good Baptist, I wouldn't have said that the Lord didn't really care, but I have to be honest with you in telling you, I have felt that way. I wondered if he really, really cared. I remember crying out to God for healing. It didn't come. Not the type I wanted. I wanted it instantly. You know, we have victory, but oftentimes we want triumph. Amen? There's a great difference. But we have victory in Christ. I remember when I had a triple bypass. And oh, I'll tell you, if you've never had open heart surgery, it's quite an experience. And it was the week after my surgery, and I had sent my wife back to work. I was so miserable. I wanted to suffer alone. I wanted to suffer alone. I didn't want anybody around. And I was at home, and I was reading the book of Matthew, and I was reading all these miracles, and I knew mentally God's abilities. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you please heal this, or at least remove some of the misery? He didn't. And it was March. It was March outside. The only thing I could think about was the instruction I'd been given, was that I had to go for a walk two or three times a day. And so I got up and I got these stockings on. I had to put on these stretching things so that the blood in my legs was circulating. And I'm going outside and the wind is blowing and I'm going down the street like this. And I asked the Lord, do you really care? Do you really, really care? Well, we're going to touch on that tonight. Oh, let me tell you something. He does care. Amen? He cares enough to allow us to experience these things. In fact, any good parent will allow their children to bump their knee or something. Amen? If you're a good parent, you're going to allow your children to compete in sports and so forth. And they're going to get hurt. You're going to have to tell them no sometimes. And sometimes that's going to hurt. Sometimes it'll even hurt you. But you have to allow them to experience it. And God has to allow us to experience pain and discomfort and so on. After all, we live in a sin-cursed world. No more Garden of Eden. All that went with the garden. Remember, our parents was the Garden of Eden. I call it the first foreclosure. Amen? God foreclosed on the garden. He told them, get out. Don't ever come back. In fact, he set the flaming swords there to ensure that they would never, ever return. We are Adam's race. Well, in Mark chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 35, the Bible says, and the same day when evening was come, Jesus said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Now this is this other side. This is the Sea of Galilee. It's also the Lake of Gennesaret and the Sea of Tiberias. It's the same body of water. And this is where they are. Very familiar place. Very familiar place. In fact, tonight as we preach, you'll notice that a lot of our trials and a lot of things that God tests us comes in very familiar places around very familiar people. Very familiar place. Verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. You might want to underline that. That's important to remember that there were other little ships out there. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a question. I know that you've never questioned the Lord. I have. I've questioned him. I've questioned the Lord himself. And that question was, carest thou not that we perish? Well, in a few moments, you'll notice that he's got some questions for them. And he arose and rebuked the wind. Now notice that this was a windstorm. There was no rain involved here. It was the wind that was moving the water. And so they had a serious problem. But there was no rain involved. It's important to notice what kind of storm you're in. This was a windstorm. But he rebuked the wind. I would love to have heard what he said to it, wouldn't you? The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what he said to the wind, but it says that he rebuked it. I've been rebuked by the Lord a few times. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "I have a couple of questions for you." And the first question is, "Why are you so fearful?" Why, he said. They were paralyzed with fear. We're not to be paralyzed with fear. Amen? We're not to be paralyzed. Yes, we're going to get afraid. But the Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, "Why are you so fearful?" Question number two, how is it? How is it that you have no faith? Now, let me just explain something to you here. This "how is it" implies that by this time in their lives, they should have been further along. There should have been some display of faith. There should have been some evidence that they knew that God was God and God alone. Yes. Sound familiar? I've been saved for 42 years. And sometimes, behavior-wise, I feel like I just got saved yesterday. Sometimes here lately, I've been really having some good close talks with the Lord. And I've been telling the Lord, "Lord, forgive me for not being where I thought I was." Many of us are not nearly as, don't have nearly as much faith as we think that we do. And if you think you have more, you'll find out. Someone said the true test of a man's faith is what it takes to stop him. You know, in those crucible moments, and especially when the body is hurting, or when a loved one passes, or when some other thing goes wrong in life, that's the true test of your faith. It's not when we're sitting in the sanctuary here on Sunday morning singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." That's not the true test of your faith. The true test is when the storm comes. And if it hasn't come yet, my friend, just stick around. It's coming. "How is it," he says. "Please tell me," he said. "Please tell me how it is that you have no faith in me. You have no faith in what I said." Notice what he said to him up in verse number 35. "Let us pass over to the other side." I hope you're standing on the promises of God. I hope that you're standing on the promises of God. Every Christian should have at least a few scriptures memorized where you stand when everything is just, when the bottom is out. I like Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." You got to have something to stand on. And so he want to know, how is it that you can't remember what I said? Faith always has an object, and that object is the word of God. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" Now turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Keep your place there in the book of Mark and turn to Luke chapter 8. Same passage from a different author. Look, written a little bit different. In Luke chapter 8, beginning verse number 22, the Bible says, oh, I love to hear those pages turn, amen? I'm a Bible thumper. The Bible says in Luke 8, 22, "Now it came to pass on a certain day." Now notice this is not a holiday. This is not Independence Day. This is not Christmas. This is just a common, ordinary day. And listen, most of the days of our lives are ordinary days. Wouldn't you agree with that? Just kind of common, ordinary days. And that's where the battle is being lost, my friend. It's on these ordinary days, because too many of us on these ordinary days are not practicing trusting God with all our heart. "Certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a strong storm, I'm adding the word there, of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, here it is, where is your faith? You know, it was appropriate for God. It's appropriate for God to wonder, where is our faith? I mean, those of us who's been saved for years and we know the Word of God, we can quote the Word of God, we sing the Word of God. Where's your faith? Was the question. And I want you to notice something here. His message was short. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll notice that he doesn't say anything else to them at this point. Kind of reminds me of my parents. You know, my parents didn't do a lot of talking, especially when you had messed up. My parents would just tell you, stop. Amen. That's all. Just stop. That's it. And if you didn't stop, then they started. Amen. You notice here the message is short. The message is, where is your faith? He doesn't say anything else. That's bone chilling to me. And they being afraid, wondered. Now at this point, he's already rebuked the wind. And the water is calm. And let me tell you why they're afraid. They're thinking about everything that just took place. And they're just kind of naturally afraid. They're looking at Jesus. They're looking at this man who just rebuked the wind and calmed the water. The one who told them that they were going to the other side. And they're afraid. You ever get afraid sometime when you do the wrong thing, when you knew the right thing? I do. My sister passed, last year in June? Down in North Carolina, and Flossie and I were going through the mountains down 77 in West Virginia. And I was driving my Highlander out there, and I was clipping along. I was going too fast. And I kind of got to moving along with another car and got up to about 85 miles an hour, and every now and then bumped 90. And kept going, and finally I topped the hill, and I looked, and there was five or six state police cars side by side, and one of them just stepped over into the edge of the road and started doing like this. And I said, well, it's over. He said, big guy, he came up to me and he says, I'm not going to give you a ticket for going 85 miles an hour. He said, because if I do it, it's going to cost you $500. He says, I'm going to give you a ticket for going 75. That'll be a lot less. He said, but I'll tell you something. He said, where are you going? I told him my sister had passed. And so on. He says, well, I'll tell you what. He says, I don't want you to pay this right away. For some reason, they liked me. He said, I don't want you to pay this right away. He says, when you get there, he said, write the judge a letter. Write the judge a letter, and I think everything will be all right. We got home. My wife typed out the judge a letter, sent him a copy of the obituary. In fact, just 6 months earlier, we had been to this sister's daughter's funeral. So my wife sent a copy of both obituaries. So it started to come close to time for the date of the ticket. I hadn't heard anything from anybody, so I sent the $100 in. A couple of weeks later, we got the $100 back. No charge. No charge. Our God is an awesome God. My text is the last part of Mark chapter 4. Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's my text tonight. And if you have a songbook, I want you to turn to hymn number 157 in the hymn book. Number 157. Tender. Pastor Peter sang this at Daisy Brown's funeral. By the way, Pastor, you did a great job. But notice, this is the caliber of songs that we're singing in a church like this. And it's for a purpose. There's a reason why we haven't gone to the 7-Eleven type music. There's a reason why we haven't gone to the guitars and, you know, the live metal and all that. There's a reason for that. And because these songs complement every word that's in the Word of God. Notice the words of this song. The name of the song. And then right across the page from that, God will take care of you in the middle of the storm. But does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burden pressed and the cares distressed and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong like that last piece of chicken? Seriously, that last piece of chicken. Am I the only one here that overeat sometimes? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? It's ought to him. Does he see? Well, the songwriter says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know that my Savior cares. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen? And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The title of my message is, Does Jesus Care? The title of my message is, Because He Cares. Because He Cares is the title of the message. Because Jesus cares, He allows storms. My friends, He allows COVID-19. Anyone here ever had COVID-19 besides me? I had it bad. I thought I was going to die. In fact, last Sunday, my wife and I preached in a church last Sunday morning where they had a pandemic within the pandemic. They had over 30 people sick with COVID at once. They really don't, they're not too big on the shots, and so they just decided not to. But a whole bunch of them, and last Sunday night, they had a praise service where they gave testimony. And I'll tell you, there were some sad testimonies. Several of those people almost died. But God does allow COVID-19. And by the way, God allows some sad things to happen to good people. If you believe that, say amen. I don't want you to get the idea that being a good Baptist and walking close to the Lord and everything will protect you from some of the things that we endure in a sin-cursed world, because they will happen to you as well. God allows COVID. He allows fires. He allows cancer, earthquakes, tornadoes to make us better. To make us better, not bitter. These are spiritual exercises, because the true test of your faith is what you do when the chips are down. How do you act? Do you trust God then? God wants to hear us sing. If you remember correctly, in Acts chapter 16, and I know I'm never going to finish this message tonight because that clock is not saved and I've got so much to say tonight. But in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas had been thrown in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says at midnight, and by the way, they stripped off their clothes, they had not been fed, and they whooped them. They beat them real bad. They chained them. And that's where they were at midnight. And the Bible says at midnight, they sang and prayed. Now, friend, listen. When it's midnight in your life, you'll have to make a choice. You'll either sing and pray or you'll cuss and fuss. And too often we cuss and fuss. But I know they were singing there at midnight. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. They were singing. They sang at midnight. God wants us to sing. God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see, He wants to hear your voice. God wants to hear us sing when the chips are all the way down. Turn with me to Psalms 145, verse number 17. This is a memory verse. If you haven't memorized it, you should. Psalm 145, verse 17. In Psalm 145, in verse number 17, great verse, great verse. You may be able to help someone else out with this verse. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 17, when you find it, let's read it together. The Bible says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Let's read it one more time. Let's read it like Baptists. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Notice in this short verse, the word all is mentioned twice. All. God makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. And yes, He cares. He makes no mistakes, and yes, He cares. The Bible says in Psalms 18, verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. The Bible says, as for God, His way is perfect. In both the Mark and the Luke passage, Jesus questioned their faith or the lack thereof. I'll tell you something. One of the worst combinations in the world is fear and faithlessness. fear and faithlessness. You'll go into a cardiac arrest. He said other side, but they forgot all about that. In Mark chapter 4, verse 40, we found the fear. And in Luke 8, 25, we found the fear. And they were very, very, very afraid. And the only cure for that kind of fear is Jesus Christ. Are you sometimes paralyzed by your fears? I think we all are sometimes. Sometimes we're so afraid until we can't even do the right thing. Well, so what is faith? The Bible has a lot to say about faith. Well, let me tell you some things that faith is not. First of all, biblical faith is not just a compilation of knowledge about God. I believe that these disciples knew quite a bit about the Lord at that time, but they were scared to death. So biblical faith is not just a compilation of knowledge about God. Biblical faith is not the ability to focus really hard on something that you want or need. And there's some that teach that. Biblical faith is not prescribing for God some course of action he should take on your behalf in the name of prayer. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is not just joining in with a group and believing that God will do what the group wants. You know, kind of telling God your will instead of seeking his will. Flossie and I, we've had some people to call us and they wanted us to join. In fact, the man that I spent the night with, the youth pastor of the church, the night before we were married, recently, he had a massive heart attack, kind of a young man. And he was brain dead by the time he came out of it. He was brain dead. And so the family contacted us and they wanted us to believe with them that everything was going to be okay. Well, we didn't tell them, but we couldn't do that. The only thing we could pray for was the will of God. And he's in heaven today. He did not make it. In fact, we knew he was not going to make it after they described what happened. He couldn't make it. He was gone. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is not naming it and claiming it. When I was chaplain at Pacific Garden Mission, I had a lady call me early one morning and told me that the apostle, somebody had come through Chicago and had anointed all kinds of oil and wanted to know if we could use any oil at the mission. Anointed oil. I told her, ma'am, I said, we have plenty of oil. We don't need any. She said, you do? I said, oh, yes. I said, you can't run an operation this big without oil. We got all kinds of oil, Mazola oil, corn oil, 2050 motor oil, amen. Got all kinds of oil, and some grease too, amen. She hung up on me. And I was glad she did, amen. I didn't want to talk to her. So what is faith? Well, biblical faith is always, number one, always in the proper context of the Word of God. You got to be careful just snatching out something from the Bible and saying that that's what God said to you. It's got to be in context. That's number one. Number two, biblical faith is trust that God can help you. Trust that God can help you even if it's not in the way that you want. Biblical faith is trusting God whatever he allows. It's called standing on the promises. We sing that song. If you're not standing on the promises, my friend, you're just standing on the premises. Amen? Just standing on the premises of God. Biblical faith is putting confidence in God like we do in a chair. I noticed that no one here this afternoon, you never doubted whether or not that chair would hold you up. You just kind of flop down. You got to kind of flop down on the Lord. Yes. It's doing right. You got to be so accustomed to doing right until it just becomes automatic. Like Daniel, when young Daniel was taken to Babylon and was told that he would have to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, young Daniel says, I'm not going to be able to do that. That's not what he was accustomed to doing. And so he didn't. And God blessed him. You know the story. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purposed heart. And dare to make it known. Biblical faith requires humility. Worry is pride. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6 that we're to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. There's an element of pride in worry. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Digging around in Pastor Peter's territory now. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. Hebrews 11:1. The Bible says, Now, faith is the substance. It produces substance. Biblical faith produces substance. If you have biblical faith, there will be evidence of that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You put your faith and trust in something that you cannot see. That's biblical faith. For by it, faith, the elders obtain a good report. I love verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was no drywalling that went on. There was no raising of a metal beam or two. There was no bobcats, no bulldozers. Believest thou that? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, without biblical faith, it's impossible to please God. Any wonder why God is displeased at some of us sometimes? Without biblical faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'll tell you a little secret. Back in December, I contracted a condition. I've had a condition for almost 7 months. I mentioned it a few times at church, and finally the Lord kind of told me to stop talking about it. But I've suffered. And it's not gone, but it's a little better. Keep me in your prayers. It's been a challenge. It's challenged my faith. If I told you what it was, you would certainly understand it. What a challenge it is. I thank God for Jesus. Amen? Thank God for Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Jesus said, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Do you really believe that? The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It's so important to know that you're trusting in the holy word of God. It's so important to know that you're trusting in the holy word of God. You can't put your trust in anything else. All of the ground is sinking sand. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, we are justified by faith. That's a legal term. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. And my friend, four times the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith in the word of God? If so, can you quote it? Can you quote some scripture? Can you quote? Can you tell someone? I had a young man come to my door the other day, and he was selling he was an exterminator or something. I stepped right out. We were getting ready to come to church. It was last Wednesday. I was half dressed. I stepped right out on the front porch and began preaching to him. He got so excited, and he wasn't even a Christian. He asked me, do you mind if I record some of that? I said, help yourself. I gave him the plan of salvation right on his recorder. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, the just shall live by faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 38, the just shall live by faith. My friend, you and I are to live by faith. And it's no little wonder why Jesus said to the disciples, how is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith in the middle of a storm? Where is your faith? Well, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know, we all get excited about going to heaven, but what do you do in the middle of the storm? We're saved by grace, but we're also kept by grace. Amen? Well, today, if I have the time, I want to show you about 7 observations from these passages to show how Jesus works in our lives because he cares. Because he cares. It's so important for you to know that no matter what happens in your life, he loves you just the same. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved, and you could put your name there. For God so loved Dawn. For God so loved Lanny. For God so loved whoever, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, observation number one. Because Jesus cares, he daily tests our faith on ordinary days. Turn back to the Luke passage with me, Luke chapter 8. Because Jesus cares. I want you to know, my friend, if you're not doing what you should be doing on these common ordinary days, then I want you to know you're failing the test. Your faith is being tested every single day in common ordinary ways. The Bible says in Luke 8:22, now it came to pass on a certain day. On this certain day, the Lord tests our faith. He's testing us to see if we're having devotions. Are you having devotions every day? Maybe you're not. Well, you need to start. You ought to spend some time every day, and I would suggest in the morning, in the Word of God, with the Lord, reading and praying. You say, well, I don't have time. Well, take time. Get up a little bit earlier. You need to prioritize your times. This is priority. This is priority. Every day you need to have devotion, spending time with God, regular church attendance, witnessing. Are you witnessing to anyone? Have you anyone in your mind, in your family, in your neighborhood? Have you targeted anyone that you're praying for and talking to about the Lord? If not, why not? Would be my question. Giving. You ought to be giving. Someone said you ought to give until it hurts, but I believe you ought to give until it helps. If it's hurting you, you haven't given enough yet. We need to give. We need to be practicing Christian behavior, beginning at home. This is what we should be doing on these common, ordinary days. Now, it came about on a certain day that a storm came. That's what happened that day. Well, what are you doing on these ordinary days? You see, it's gonna happen on an ordinary day just like it did on this one. Something unusual is going to happen, and if you're not careful, you're going to be blown away. These guys were literally blown away. We need to be practicing Christian behavior at home. Young people, older people, you need to be acting like a Christian at home. Don't reserve your best behavior for Dire Baptist Church. It needs to start at home. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, let me tell you when the day of adversity is. That's every single day. It'll be as nice as you can be, as biblical as you can be, every day, everywhere, all the time. Taking complete responsibility for every action and every thought. Don't blame your family members for your behavior. You take responsibility for your behavior. Change your words. Change your tone. Amen? Behave yourself. Show some appreciation. You know, around my house, there is no woman's work. It's just work. Amen? It's just work. It's all work. Ordinary days. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know, the trials, when the trials come, count it joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience experience. That was number one. Because Jesus cared, he daily tests our faith on ordinary days. Number two, observation number two, because Jesus cares, he daily tests our faith in ordinary ways. Here in Luke, notice in Luke chapter 8, the Bible says, and he went into a ship with his disciples. A ship was ordinary. It was as ordinary for these guys to ride in a ship as it was for you and I to ride in an automobile. And they hung around. There was a group of them. They hung around together all the time. My friend, your faith is being tested. When you come to church, when you go to work, when you go into the marketplace, God is testing you. He's watching. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. You need to be practicing. Because Jesus cared, he daily tests our faith in ordinary ways. Listen, he used the ship and the Sea of Galilee and piers. God uses people, places, and things to test and strengthen our faith and our character, preparing us for the storms of life. Preparing us for the storms of life. I've traveled a lot in the last 25 years, and now it's as ordinary for me to be in a strange church as it is for me to be here. I'm very comfortable in churches I've never been into before. But it took a lot of getting used to. Didn't happen the first couple of times. But after a while, it was okay. God used a ship. He used the sea. He uses ordinary people, places, and things. He uses our homes, our cars, our jobs, our co-workers, our churches, our health, etc. to increase our faith and strengthen our character for God's purposes and glory. He wants us to behave like Christians no matter what happens. If you believe that, say amen. He wants us to behave like Christians when we're tested, when we're tried, when the storm comes. This is where the battle is being lost, because too many ordinary situations we're not behaving Christ-like. Instead, we're out of fellowship with God, and so we're murmuring. You see, if you're not in fellowship with God, then you're not in fellowship with God. And if you're out of fellowship with God, you're going to do something different. Murmuring, backbiting, lying, taking sides, stealing. You know, anytime you remove anything that's not yours, you stole it. Amen? Stealing, compromising, just being petty, wasting time and money, contentious. Observation number three, because Jesus cares, he gives us his promises. Notice Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Let us go over into the other side of the lake. This was a promise. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, 3, great peace have they which love thy law. I'm sorry, that's Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 104 and 105, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My friend, you can stand on those things. You can stand on that. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse number 18, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Bible says in Psalms 119 verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The Bible says in Psalms 119 verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You can stand on the word of God, but you need to know the word of God. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? Our God is an awesome God. Let us go over. He gives us his promises. Do you have a promise? I quote the promises of God late at night, 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning, when I'm laying on my bed and I can't sleep and my body is ill and other things are going on, and I just lay there and quote the word of God. Isaiah 41:10 is one of my favorites. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. He said, we're going to the other side. So they launched forth. Do you know any scripture from memory? Can you quote the names of the 66 books of the Bible? And if not, why not? Do you know the names of the books of the Bible? Well, you need to know them by memory, because I'm going to line you up before you come into church. You think wearing a mask was something? Well, you're going to have to quote those Bible books before you come in. Amen? We're not going to let anybody in any other door except this north door over here, and I'll be standing there. Amen? And I'm not going to have any dinner. I want to be good and hungry, a little bit mean about it. You know what I mean? Observation number four. Because Jesus cares, the storm did come. And it was a doozy. Notice chapter 8 and verse number 23. The Bible said, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there it came. There came down a storm of wind. And listen to me. Listen carefully. But notice what the Bible says, as they sail. You know, that's what most of us like. It's just smooth sailing, isn't it? I mean, we just like everything to go just so, don't we? How's everything going? Everything's going wonderful. And I'm happy. The Lord is so good. You know, one of the reasons why we don't have more testimonies in churches like these is because, you know, sometimes it gets old hearing nothing but testimonies. I just got a new car. I just got this or that. And there's nothing wrong with some of that, but that is not the only type of testimony. The storm came. And it's coming in your life. He still wants us to trust him completely and care about others. Turn over to the Mark passage. He wants us, even in the middle of a storm, he wants us to trust him, remember what he said, and he wants us to care about others. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. In Mark chapter 4, and verse number 36 and 37, the Bible says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." Notice this. "And there were also with him other little ships." Everybody look this way. There was other little ships out there, not nearly as big as the one that they were in. They didn't care about that. There's no evidence that they cared about that at all. How about you? Do you care about the world that's out here drowning in those small ships? By the way, our ship is always bigger than theirs. Our ship is always bigger. Our hope is different. Our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and happen. And there were other little ships out there. Do you care about that? No matter what happens, we can't forget others. Others, Lord, yes, others. May this my motto be, that I would give myself for others, Lord, as thou hast done for me. I need to remember others. If you haven't read the account of the crucifixion lately, you need to read it again. Because he never forgot us. Never, not once. Everything that happened on the cross was that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he wasn't killed. He gave his life. When everything was done, the Bible says he hung his head and he gave up the ghost. He died for me. And I'm so glad that that's not where the story ends, because 3 days later, he rose again. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domains. And he lives forever with the saints to reign. Amen? He arose. We're not to forget others in the storm. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. In fact, the second and the greatest commandment is we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, no matter what's going on. Sometimes I know I focus too much on myself. That's one of my biggest problems. Just thinking about me, what I need, how bad I hurt, what I want, how old I am, and boy, I'm getting old. Like every morning I wake up, I find two or three more hairs, amen, on the pillow. Some of y'all don't know anything about that, but stick around, amen. Stick around. This one fella, a little bald-headed fella, told me that God only made a few perfect heads. He covered the rest of them up with hair. Amen? I thought that was kind of cute, so I hung on to that one. Amen? Hung on to that one. Observation number 5. Because Jesus cares, he calms our storms in his time and his will. He calms our storms. He calmed their storm out there that day. He calms our storms, even if it's in death. For the Christian, death is victory. Amen? For the Christian, death is home. There's no pain over there. No more crying. No pills. No bills. He calms our storms. I remember, how many of you remember Lorraine Scott, Brother Scott's wife? Oh, I tell you, Lorraine Scott was a wonderful lady. Oh, what a wonderful person. She had a way of making you feel that you were just her only concern. Oh, I knew she loved me so much, and that warmed my heart. What a nice person. And I remember looking at her laying in the coffin. She was just as cute as she'd ever been. I was sad to see her go. I missed her. I missed her very much. But he calms our storms. My friend, this is a promise. He will calm your storm. He'll calm your storm right now. He'll calm your storm even when you're sick, if you trust him. He'll calm your storm. He may not heal you, but he'll calm your storm. He'll give you peace in the midst of your storm. I remember we were in Greenville, South Carolina. I had to go to Bob Jones University and preach. And the Sunday that we arrived on a Saturday, it was a Sunday. I preached on Sunday. I had a presentation to do on Tuesday. I was to preach in chapel on Wednesday. But on Sunday, I began to sneeze. I told my wife, I've got a cold. She said, you sure? I said, well, I'm old enough to know when I've got a cold. Amen. But Monday, I knew it was not a cold. And I did my presentation on Tuesday, but we went to lunch after the presentation, and I fell out in the restaurant. Completely went out. So they took me out, and on our way back to the apartment, Flossie and I and the driver, we passed two hospitals. And even though I was out, when this driver asked me if I wanted to go to the hospital, God gave me enough consciousness to scream, no. No! No, all I could envision was with them trying to stuff some kind of pump pipe down my mouth, amen? That's all I could envision. I don't know exactly what they do when they, whatever they call it, but that's all I could see. I said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. Not only that, but I knew my wife would not be able to cross the threshold of the hospital. We're 700 miles from home. I said, I can't do that. So I drove all the way from Greenville, South Carolina the next day with COVID-19. And I got home, and some of you know I'm a little conscientious about the yard. It was fall, and there was leaves everywhere. So I went outside the next day and worked about 4 or 5 hours in the yard, cleaning up leaves with COVID-19. And then I got sick. Oh, I got sick. I slept about 20 hours a day for about 10 days. Near the end of that, it was a Sunday night. Flossie and I were ready to go to bed around 9. And I went upstairs to go to bed, but I was certain that if I laid on the bed, I knew I was going to die there. And I was afraid. So I told my wife, I said, I can't lay down. I said, we're going to have to go downstairs. We have a reclining sofa. You know, in the hospitals, you never lay flat for the most part. The bed reclines. So I felt that I should recline. So I went downstairs, and I sat there, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I know I'm getting ready to come home, but I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to see you with fear. And God gave me peace. He gave me peace. I was sick as a dog, weak as a puppy, but I had peace. And I went to sleep. And I woke up around 3 in the morning. And I knew that whatever I was experiencing was gone. It passed over. The death angel had moved. Amen. I told my wife, let's go back upstairs and go to bed. At that point, I knew I was not going to die. By the way, if you haven't had your vaccination, get it. I can't command you to get it, but I'm telling you, it's a good idea. Amen. It's a good idea to get that shot. Thank God for its availability. Because he cares. Notice observation number 6. Because Jesus cares, he shows us his power over all nature. He shows us his power over all nature. The Bible says he rebuked the wind. It was Jesus Christ who created everything. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God, the Lord Jesus, said, let there be light. And there was light. And if you read the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it goes on, and every now and then it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And when he was done speaking, it was done. And he looked at it and he said, it was very good. Very good. Real good. Because he cares. He shows us that he has power. I'm reminded of the earthquake that took place tonight that Paul and Silas was in jail. The Bible says it was a great earthquake. So I did a little study into that. It was a great earthquake. Well, see, most earthquakes annihilate everything. But this particular earthquake only did what he told it to do. It took off the chains. It opened up the doors. Didn't kill anyone. Amen. A great earthquake. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. Amen. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus ransomed me. He shows us that he has power over everything. He speaks. He commands the winds. Observation number 7. Because Jesus cares, he wants us to trust him when we are afraid. Everybody look this way. He wants you to trust him when you're scared to death. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do something dumb, because that's the wrong type of fear. But I'm talking about when those natural things happen. When those natural things happen and you're afraid to death. Trust him. Quote some scripture. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Remember what the lady said when she had the issue of blood. She spent all her money. She said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment. There's healing at the bottom, amen. When you're at the bottom of your wallet, when you're at the bottom of everything. Well, she had to get down to get to the hem, amen. There's healing at the bottom. Because he cares. He wants us to trust him when we're afraid. We're not to be paralyzed by our fears. Do you forget his word in the storms? Do you forget the word of God sometimes when things are really going wrong? And listen, everybody look, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. But do you ask the Lord to forgive you? The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remember a time in my Christian experience when in a good Baptist church like this, if someone got up and preached, as soon as they were done preaching, the altars were full. That's not true anymore. The altars are empty and we're not broken over much of anything. There's something wrong with that. And I want you to know, I got a problem with that. I believe we ought to do business with God while we're at church. I believe if you go to the hospital and you got a problem, you ought to tell somebody. You come to church, everyone here's got problems. We need to come up here and tell God. I know of several people in our church right now that are sick. I know of some people that's got some serious stuff that's going on, and we're just kind of walking out of here. We need to come up here and take a minute. It doesn't take very long. We need to come up here and pray. And all God's people said, that's kind of a silent amen. And I know that probably comes as a little bit of a rebuke, and I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to do that, but I'm telling you, we got to do something different. We got to do something different. America's going to hell in a breadbasket. I don't know if you've listened to any of the news lately, or if you know what's going on, and yes, we need to pray for our leaders and so forth, because the Bible tells us so, but there's some serious stuff going on in America. There's some crazy stuff going on in your neighborhood. And we need to pray. We need to pray. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. So what should be done in an assembly? Yes, it's good to sing. It's good to have a person stand up and pray over us. It's good to hear the word of God. But we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. Do you forget his word? Sometimes we do. When's the last time you prayed at an altar of prayer? When's the last time you confessed your own personal weaknesses to the Lord? When's the last time you just admitted to God, God, I'm not where many think I am. Help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. By the way, do you know where you're going when you die? If you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Are you sure you're saved? I know that's a heart-rending question, and I imagine that most of you are, but maybe there's one here. Maybe you're just kind of brought up around it, and you're just kind of taking for granted that everything's okay. I don't know. The altar is open.
Very much like Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.